We're going to read from the book of the Gospel according to John, the third chapter, and we're going to read the first 15 verses this morning. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, Art thou a master or a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. That is the first 15 verses of the third chapter of John. And today I want to talk about the necessity of the new birth. But as I considered my topic this morning of you must be born again, I can't help but say that it's a blessing that we get the opportunity to be born again. Sometimes people bring that to a first of all a statement to say that you must be, and I think that that's true. But I want to tell you, in our fallen condition, we need to be born again, and it's a blessing that God allows us to be born again. Whenever I got saved, I'm glad that he didn't just clean me up and just kind of set me on a new path. But no, he gave me a brand new slate. He gave me a second opportunity, one that was not like the first opportunity. It far surpasses the first opportunity. This morning, we read about a man named Nicodemus, who's a lot like most of us. We demonize him sometimes, but I believe that Nicodemus was very much like you and I relate to Nicodemus a lot. And so I'll say that I know how Nicodemus feels. And he came to Jesus by night. He was a man that had a good reputation. He was a man that was a religious man. He had been brought up in church. He had learned about God. We know that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And he was a member of the Sanhedrin. And I want you to know that he didn't get there by luck and chance and who he knew. He had to work a lot to get to the position. He had to know a lot to be in his position. But with all of his knowledge about Jesus and all of his knowledge about God, he didn't know Jesus. And he knew inside of his heart that his religion was not settling the needs that he had inside of his heart. I believe the reason that Nicodemus was seeking for Jesus is because he knew he was missing something. Now, he didn't want to go out in front of everybody because he was a guy that was supposed to have it all together. He was a man that was supposed to have the answers. He was a teacher in Israel. He was a man that people came to with their questions, but he couldn't answer the question about Jesus Christ. As he heard about and even maybe witnessed the miracles, he wondered, how is it that this Jesus does these things? The only answer that he could come up with was that he must have been sent by God. It must be that this Jesus is some kind of prophet or some kind of teacher. We know that he couldn't do the things that he's done except for by God. But I don't know what the answer is in terms of my response to that. If I know that Jesus was sent by God, then what must I do to get what Jesus is saying is offered, and that's salvation through his name? So he goes to Jesus by night, and he knew something about Christ, but he did not know Christ. My first point today would be that knowledge and understanding or knowing about Jesus is insufficient. It's not enough to know about Jesus, and if you just know about him, probably what has been welling up in your heart are a lot of feelings of insufficiency and that you don't have everything that you need. And I know that you try to justify yourself, and you may even go back, like I'm sure Nicodemus did, and thought about his upbringing and about how that he had been given all of this instruction. And every time he probably thought about the need inside of his heart, I'm just in conjecture a little bit because I know the human nature of men. Sometimes we begin to justify that longing in our heart, and we begin to explain it away. Well, I know a lot about God. I'm doing good deeds. I'm trying to be the best I can be and things like that. But deep inside Nicodemus' heart, he knew he was searching for something. He knew about Christ, but he did not know Christ. And I believe that he was somewhat reluctant to start over. Now, I'm going to get real personal here today about people. There's a lot of religious people that grow up knowing about Jesus. And especially in the Bible Belt, they've been taught a lot of things about Jesus. But when they're confronted with the fact that they have to count all of their knowledge as nothing before God and seek him as a sinner that has nothing to offer God, many times they back away and say, that's not for me. I'm not willing to just start over. I mean, I've got a lot invested in this life. I've got a lot of good things I've been working for. You mean God wants me to come with nothing, as a sinner with nothing, to empty myself? I'm not willing to start over. Are there not people like that today? Are there not people in the room this morning that you've been confronted with the need to repent, but you're not willing to cast it all aside and give it to Jesus? Because, I mean, you're a pretty good person. And I think you are too. I think you've done a lot of good things. According to my viewpoint, you've got a lot of things going for you. But I want you to know that whenever you compare your righteousness to the righteousness of our Savior, it just doesn't match up. And you feel like you're just not ever able to get over that hump and over that barrier. And you try to do good deeds and you do some good things. And when you get done, you find out your motive wasn't as pure as you thought it was. And you start thinking about that, and you even hate it a little bit because you wish you could do the right thing. And every time you try to do the right thing, you end up doing it the wrong way. Or you fail to do the right things. Or you can do the right things in front of everybody, but whenever you get down in your personal life, you can't seem to do the right things all the time like you'd like to. And those evil thoughts start creeping in. And you know that God doesn't like them, but you think you might be able to hide them from God. I want you to know that God knows your condition this morning. He knows where you stand today. He knows what you're thinking today. And the Bible says that even if one sin is held to your account on judgment day that has not been forgiven and washed away, you will not make it to the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of God. You'll not be able to be able to have eternal life. And today, if you're a sinner, and that means even one sin, you fall short of God's expectations and his standards. Wow. I don't think Nicodemus understood that. But he knew something was missing. And so he went to Jesus by night. And he came to Jesus and he began saying some things to him. He called him rabbi or
Master, he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. You know, he's easing into this thing and he's trying to warm up to Christ. And he says, I know that you're a teacher that's come from God. For we know that no man can do these things except for from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he's just laying out this presupposition here that he's coming. He's not coming as an antagonist. He's coming as one that understands that Jesus is from God. And so you would think, you know, and by the way, in many churches in our nation, if someone just came in the doors and said exactly what Nicodemus said, they would say, you can be one of us. You just go ahead and join. If you know those things about Jesus, if you've got a mental ascent toward him, you just go ahead and become a church member. Wouldn't that happen in a lot of churches today? Or they'd say, if you don't know that, we'll teach you that. And after you go through some training, you can be a member of the church. But I want you to see what Jesus said in response to those statements that Nicodemus said. He said something that was a little bit off of what you might expect. Nicodemus didn't ask him a question. He just made a statement about how that he knew that he was from God. And here's what Jesus said. He said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, listen to me. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I looked up a poll, and you've probably heard these numbers too, but do you know that 80% of Americans, when they're asked, will say they're a Christian? 80%. Wow, you'd think that we're in a spiritual revival with 80% of people answering a poll, yeah, I'm a Christian, I follow Christ. Did you know that if you also ask them the question, do you consider yourself to be born again, only 45% of those 80% count it in the affirmative. They would even say that they're born again. That's even just say that they're born again. I wonder how many then would actually have had the born again experience with God. Probably very few in comparison to the ones that were asked. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Is there any such thing as a Christian that's not born again? There is no such thing. According to me, no. According to the Lord Jesus Christ, who answered Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. Now, the word born again is purposely broad in its meaning. The word again, it's ambiguous. It could mean again, or it could mean above. Jesus is talking about a heavenly birth that everybody must have, a birth from above, but you can understand why when Nicodemus heard it, he heard it as born again. That word could be seen either way. And I thought about that sometimes. Preachers will say something. And then the congregation will hear something else. Sometimes, you know, you hear something from the Word of God, but your hearing is dull, and so you don't understand what it is that God is saying. I want you to know Jesus was telling Nicodemus this morning in this text. He was telling him that he must be born from above. He must be born from heaven. There must be a heavenly birth that takes place in your life in contrast with your physical birth. And it said, unless you have a heavenly birth, you know, the born-again experience is not just for elite Christians. It's not just a nice thing to have. It's not one of these things like you hear today where they say, well, some people have it and some people don't. I want you to know every person that ever makes heaven as their home, they have had a born-again experience with God. A birth from above. Jesus talking about a heavenly birth. Nicodemus was fixated on figuring out how he could crawl back in the womb. I mean, he was just trying to figure out, man, how is this going to happen? I got to figure out how I can get back in my mother's womb. I'm an old man. I can't figure this thing out. Jesus wasn't asking him to do that. You know, the book of Matthew, Jesus was quoting Isaiah. And he says, indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. I want you to know today, if you're in a lost condition, your hearing is dulled. Your eyes are closed. You need God to open up the eyes of your heart and the ears of your heart that you might be able to hear from the Holy Spirit of God as He speaks to you. And as that Holy Spirit of God begins to well up in you, this feeling that you're missing something, and you begin to feel guilt when you think about God, and you begin to think about how things aren't right, and I've got a lot of things on my list that I've done that would make me an acceptable candidate for Jesus, but He doesn't even hear me. He comes back with this statement about being born again. I want you to know, you can be born again. When you finally get done with yourself and all of your credentials and all of your lists and all the things that you think make God happy, and you just come down to the end of your rope, Jesus offers a new birth. I don't know about you, but whenever I got to the place where I could get saved, my heart was hurting. I had been a pretty good boy. There wasn't a lot of things that I had done that I could go back and say, look at all the, you know, thefts and murders and stuff. But I want you to know, when the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of my heart, everything that I was holding on to, I just had to keep throwing out the window and all the niceties in prayer. Oh God, I know that You're the Savior. Oh God, I know that You're holy. You know what I was saying? Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I am struggling in my sins. I feel like if I die tonight, I would go to hell. That's what was going on inside of my heart. And I'm glad that it was going on like that inside of my heart, because as long as I was holding on to my religion and my good deeds and all those other things, I wasn't fit to understand what Jesus was even telling me. And it saddens me. Sometimes you'll sit and talk with people, good people, well-meaning people, well-intentioned people, and you try to explain the need for a new birth, and they just cannot understand. Well, I pray if you're one of those that just can't understand, one of the ways you know that you just can't understand is every time somebody starts talking about being born again, you try to justify about how some other way will be good enough. Well, that worked for them. You know, he felt like that, but maybe you don't need to feel like that. Maybe you don't need to have real peace in your heart. Maybe God will settle it all at the end. I want you to know, the devil is crafty. He'll begin saying things to you that will just deceive you all the way to hell. And I'll say this, and this might not be hold water every time, but I'll say generally, if there's deceiving being done, it's that we deceive ourselves. We start blaming others about deceiving, but I want you to know, God sometimes gets right through that and He gets to you. And yeah, there was deceit that was handed down to you, but eventually you get to the point where you just deceive yourself. Whatever it is you're hanging on to today, be not deceived. If you will just let it go, God will allow you to experience the new birth, and you can be born from above. Wouldn't you love to be able to say today, I know that my soul is right with God. I know that I received grace from heaven that I couldn't give myself. I'm glad my citizenship is somewhere else. I'm glad that He has made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm glad that I'm free as a bird when it comes to God, because He has already judged me a sinner and then forgave me of those sins in which He judged me to be a sinner. He said, born again. Now, He also said another statement, and Nicodemus came back and he said, he was confused, and he said, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, you'd think Jesus would just answer that question, but He doesn't. He says another statement here that just cuts home to the heart. He says, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I want to explain that a little bit. Nicodemus would have known just exactly what Jesus was talking about there. You see, Jesus never came with a new message. Jesus always just expounded on the old message. Jesus was the fulfillment of the old message. So sometimes people say, well, Jesus came with new teaching. He did no such thing. He just explained the teaching that had been around since the beginning. He was just clarifying for people that He was the fulfillment of that message. You know, some people say, well, it doesn't matter what you are, whether you're Jew or whether you're Christian or whether you're Muslim. Well, I want you to know Jesus said something. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he said that nobody comes to the Father, that's Father God. Nobody comes to the Father God but by me. And you see, he was explaining to Nicodemus that when the prophets spoke, they spoke concerning him. I want you to know Jesus wasn't an afterthought. Jesus was on the mind of God from before that we could understand anything or even were thought about. I want you to know God had a plan before even we were here, before the foundation of the world. God had made provision for us, for our lost condition. And he says, he's kind of alluding to the book of Ezekiel. And he says, he quotes, and doesn't really quote it, but the imagery's there where Ezekiel wrote, he said, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and I'll give you a new heart, and a new spirit I'll put within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you, and I'll cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. He was talking to a man that knew the law, and he knew the prophets, and he says, look, I want you to know Scripture is being fulfilled in me. I want you to know that what you're going to receive is a promise that God already made of old. Now, you need to be born of the Spirit of God, and you need a spiritual cleansing. There must be, you know, some people say, well, I'll get religion, I'll start walking right. I want you to know there's no religion that can make you walk right. You need to be cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and the water of the Holy Ghost. There must be a cleansing inside of you that takes place. And that's what God has to offer. And that's exactly what He will give unto a person that comes to Him by faith. The psalmist said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Not if I've sinned. No, he says, cleanse me, wash me of my sins. I know I've sinned. I know I've transgressed the law of God. I pray, God, that you just wash me. You know, we wash ourselves up. I was thinking about that. I think about weird things about how I'm washing myself up and getting ready for church. And I'm going to be clean. I'm going to dress nice and smell good and all those things. But I want you to know I'm glad for the day that Jesus washed my sins away. That He gave me a clean heart. That He gave me a renewed spirit within me. And I don't have to ever go back to the way I was before. Man, I just tell you, I was a sinner, and I felt like I was the chief of sinners whenever I came to God. But whenever He cleansed me of my sins and washed them away, He washed away my sins, past, present, and future, and He gave me a new hope, one that was I would be a righteous saint of God, not by my own righteousness, but by the righteousness was given to me by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, man. The Apostle Paul wrote, he said, but when the goodness, the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior appeared, He saved us, and not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whenever God's washing, cleansing water approaches our soul. And friends, if you're depending on baptism today, I just want you to know that is so not what Jesus was talking about here. There have been people, and I was one of them. I went down in the baptismal waters professing that Jesus was my Savior, and I came out of those baptismal waters a sinner. Told I was saved, I went through the form. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I checked all the boxes on the form. I answered affirmatively when my Sunday school teacher asked me a question. Man, I was just like Nicodemus. I had all the right answers. My test was 100%. I went in the baptismal waters. I came up, and I could have looked at you that day and said, my heart still hurts. I'm still a sinner. My sins have not been forgiven. But I didn't know. And I just went on like that condition for a while until the Lord finally spoke to me and said, things aren't right with you. Well, I'm glad that He did. And then after He washed me in the real water, that spiritual water that cleansed me, that renewal of the Holy Spirit, I want you to know today I'll say to you without reservation that my sins have been forgiven and I have been washed inside. Amen. And you can't see that. We'll keep going, but you can't see that inside of me, but it's more real than what you can see. And I'll just stop for a moment and say it's available for you. Because sometimes you hear a message like this and say, well, that worked for him, but that's not available to me. I believe it's available to the whole world. Anybody that'll come to Him in repentance of sin, trusting alone in Christ Jesus as their Savior, from their heart, they can receive that renewal and that washing that Jesus talked about. He also said, not just born of water, but born of the Spirit of God. Ezekiel, he said there in that scripture that He would give us a new heart, that He would give us a new spirit, and He would give us the ability to obey the law of God. Now, whenever he's talking about that born of the Spirit, I want you to know it's not just a good feeling that takes place. It's a whole new spirit, a whole new heart. He said here that we would get a new heart. That means that we're going to get new desires. We're going to get a new mind, and our passions are going to be changed. You know, that's why the only hope for the world's Jesus. Because He's the only one that can change our desires and our passions. The world's passions are their own lusts and their own belly. And I want you to know, as long as that's the case for them, they'll continue to be self-serving and self-seeking. But whenever we come to Jesus, He gives us a new love, a new desire, new passions inside of our heart that change us. He gives us a new spirit, a new life. Whereas we were dead inside before, we had no life inside of us. We were dead in our trespasses, in our sins. He gives life in us. And you know, just the same way, a little different, but a similar way that God looked upon that clay and He breathed into man in His nostrils the breath of life. I believe that whenever a man gets born of the Spirit of God, that God breathes life into him. It's a spiritual life, a new life. All that was corrupt inside goes away, and a new life abides in us because the life, the Lord Jesus Christ, takes up residence inside of us. And it's not just doctrines that we believe, people. It's a relationship with God. Whenever He comes in and makes His abode with us, and if Christ is not in you, your knowledge is insufficient. He says a new spirit, a new obedience. I remember reading a book by C.S. Lewis, and he made an allegory about a man that had in his pocket a card with a list of rules on it. And he knew, and it was just a short list, and he was to keep that short list of rules. And he went okay for a while until he found he broke one of them, and then he got scared. And he wondered if anybody saw him break one of them. So he tried to cover up his tracks and hide it, and just the marks that he had made there. And every day he kept looking at that rule list and finding that he'd made a mistake again. And so he tried to go back and correct himself. And one day he found out that the ruler of that place had been watching him the whole time. And every time he broke one of those rules, it was written down in a book of remembrance. And whenever he came to judgment, he was found insufficient. There's a lot of people living just like that. They've got their little rule list, and it's not even as big as God's rules, but it's their own rules about how to live life. And dang it, I messed up. Man, I wonder if anybody saw me. We can't be obedient to the law ourselves. If we were without the sin nature, maybe we could. I don't know. That's a lot of what ifs. I can't even imagine what it'd be like if we didn't have the problem of sin in our world. But the fact is, you go trying to keep the law of God by yourself, and what you'll find real fast, is that if you didn't break the law, you broke the spirit of the law. And you can feel that God is not pleased. But what he said was, I'll put a new spirit within you. He said in Ezekiel, he said, and cause you to walk in my statutes and cause you to be careful to obey my rules. I would say there's nothing more miserable than a person that's not really a Christian trying to live like they are one with a facade and always feeling like they're not going to make it. It won't be like that. Whenever Christ comes in, it'll be different. Next, I'd like to talk for just a moment about how that believers are like the wind. I love this scripture. John 3:8 says, "The wind blows where it wishes or lists, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell from where it comes or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So is it with everyone who is born of the Spirit." The Christian experience is never a formula. It's never a routine. It's never a checklist. It's like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you know it's there because you can see its effect. The same thing is true for the Christian. You can't see the grace and Spirit of God coming upon a new believer, but everything changes the moment that grace comes in. And you know, you hear a lot of different testimonies about people in different places whenever they got saved and going through different experiences. And they'll tell you, they were going along their way and God got a hold of them. And you say, "I couldn't see that. I couldn't understand that was happening." Sometimes even a person upon an altar will be praying out to God, or maybe at their seat or wherever it is that God is dealing with them. And all of a sudden they go from being lost and condemned in their sins to having new life. I mean, just like that. And you can see the effect of the countenance, but what you see more so is the effect of how it changes their life after they meet Jesus. And you didn't see anything happen. And the world says it's not possible that something like that could change everything about you. But I want you to know by my own testimony that it is possible. And the day that I met God, He changed my life. And you say, "Just show me what happened." If you'd have seen a video of what happened to me, you never could have seen it. You never could have seen what happened to me. It was taking place on the inside. But I want you to know you can see the effect of God in my life. And I'm not bragging about that, but I want you to know that God's made a difference in my life. He has changed my life. And that's the kind of effect that God has when His Holy Spirit comes into you. Can't see it, but you can see the effects of it. Wow. How about you? You know, I've heard people say about their testimony, they say, "You know, I got saved and nothing really changed in my life. Not right at first." Well, I want you to know things change when you get saved. I don't know why people say things like that. They say, "Well, it was just like any other normal day. I made my profession." I want you to know the day I got saved, it wasn't like any old normal day. It was a day I'll never forget. And it's not because I had some abnormal, out of the ordinary experience. It was just that the Spirit of God came inside me. Wow. Now Jesus looks right at Nicodemus and He says, "You must have that. If you're ever going to enter into the kingdom of God, you must have that. If you're ever going to see the kingdom of God, you can't even see it unless you have that." He said, "So is some of those that are born of the Spirit." No. He says, "So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been born of the Spirit? It's not really all that important that you answer that to me. I don't even know, except for by the fruit that I see, whether you're telling the truth or not. But you got to answer that to God. If you're born of the Spirit, you're able to live the Christian life. You're not born of the Spirit, you'll not see nor enter into the kingdom of God. So lastly, how can these things be? Nicodemus was floored. How can these things be? How can it be I've lived my whole life and have missed this? Surely somewhere I would have known the truth of this. How can these things be? Jesus looked at him and said, and wasn't real sympathetic to his plight, but he was just matter of fact. He said unto him, "Aren't you a master, a teacher of Israel? And you don't know these things?" It's almost like these things are the basic things. It's almost like these things are to come first before anything else. He said, "Are you a teacher? A teacher of the law? And you don't know these things?" I want you to know, Israel was in a horrible state when Jesus came in. They were far away from God. There were a few sheep that heard His voice, but most of them missed Him.
You're a teacher. And I'll just put it like this. There are some teachers and preachers that don't know these things. And they begin teaching other teachings about salvation because they don't know about the spiritual birth. They think it's an option. Some have it and some don't. Well, that's true, but there's no Christians that don't have it. He goes on, he says, "Verily, verily, I say to thee, we speak of what we know. We testify to that which we've seen, and you did not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you believed not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." And I want you to listen to this, because then he tells them how to get the spiritual birth. He said, "Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Listen, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Some people spend their life a wishing for the spiritual birth and just hoping someday it'll fall on them. I don't believe it works like that either. Oh yeah, it's not of ourselves, but I don't believe we fall into the kingdom of God passively. Oops, I got saved. Oh no, there was a plan that had been planned before the foundation of the world. And he said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, what was that? Real quickly, Moses, they all got snake bite. They were all going to die. They were all without hope there as they were wandering. And they needed a deliverance from their plight. Snake bitten to the point that if they didn't get help very soon, they were all going to perish. Moses lifted up the serpent. An odd symbol, if you think about it. But he put the serpent there, and he said to them, "Look upon the serpent, and you will live." And do you know that everyone that looked upon the serpent that day lived? And every person that turned their head and refused to look upon the serpent, they perished there. And I want you to know that God was showing those people in the book of Exodus that one of these days, my son is going to become sin for you who knew no sin. He's going to be lifted up on the cruel, rugged cross of Calvary. He's going to be shedding his blood, giving his life, taking upon himself the sins of the whole world. And Jesus said, whoever believes in him. Now we know because of the context that he wasn't talking about a mental acknowledgement. Oh no, he was talking about fully trusting with all of your heart that what Jesus did on the cross was good for you, and saying, God, I trust not in my own good deeds, my own works, but I trust alone in what your Son did for me. And that's hard to get to that place. But when you finally get in trouble, you'll get to that place and you'll finally lay it all at the feet of the cross. And he said, whoever believes in me, he shall not perish, he shall not die, but have eternal life. But whoever does not believe, you're condemned already. Has there ever been a time and a place in your life where you've come to the cross, not to a formula about the cross, but to the cross, to Jesus Himself, and laid yourself down with nothing to offer, saying, save me, Jesus, save me now. And the change took place. That's what He's offering today. Amen. That's the invitation today. Jesus has already been lifted up. He's already shed His blood. He's already paved the way. He's made the way. And He said, that's the only way for you. And if that's not good enough for you, you'll die in your sins. But if you'll come to Jesus today, He'll save you and He'll give you the new birth. It's something that even some children in this place know about. They've experienced it. Some old gray heads, they know about this tonight because they've experienced it. And I want you to know that you can experience it too. But it won't be passively. No, you'll have to come to Jesus. Will you come today? As we all get a song. And as we all stand and sing, I pray that you would heed the invitation today. Not the invitation from the preacher, but the invitation from the Holy Spirit. As He began to reveal to you that there's trouble inside, would you come and lay it all down at Jesus' feet and let Him fill you with a new heart, a new spirit, one that can obey His Word. God bless you. Let's have a song.